Órale, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Martin, and I'm joined by a good friend, someone who I've known for about 15 years. We met during my Dodger days, and we'll let him fill in on where he was at the time. But we met waiting, oftentimes in the Dodger clubhouse, waiting to talk to the Dodger
yes.
players.
mm-hmm.
But oftentimes there were, you know, to interview players. Jeff, our guest, is going to be, he had a lot of great gifts for the players oftentimes. So they were more times more excited to see him than me. But, you know, I'm going to welcome him in. You know, you know him as the sports dude. He's Jeffy G. Mi buen amigo, Jeff Garcia. Bienvenidos, my friend.
Thank you, man. I was really happy to finally make this happen. I know we've been back and forth on Twitter, and life is crazy sometimes, you know, and it's busy, but I'm really excited to just sit here and talk some sports with you. And I love what you're doing. I love that, you know, this is the only Latino leaning fantasy football podcast. And I love that you keep it LA too. And the vibes are great. So I'm really thankful to be here. And it's been just kind of too long since we've talked. So this is going to be fun, man.
It really is. So, I mean, one of the things that I never asked you is, where did the idea first come up to be the sports dude?
The name I owe to Big Boy, you know, really, because, you know, I was on his show for a lot of years, and that's how I was able to, you know, get into the sports situation. You know, Joe Grande was there for a while doing sports. Great guy. One of the nicest dudes I've ever met. And he took another opportunity to work at an all sports station. And I was kind of the guy, much like, you know, it's perfect that we're talking about this on your podcast. I was the guy that did the fantasy football in the office, did the squares, did all the stuff, the bets and all the things for sports. So I told Big one day, you know, I said, hey, man, I go, if you need someone to fill in for Joe while you guys are figuring it out, let me know. So I did. I filled in, and then that was it. He goes, that's it. You're here. That's it. And really, there was no sports dude, you know, at the time. It was just, hey, it's Jeff Garcia with your sports. And then they brought me in a little bit more into the fold and had me be kind of like a more formal sidekick, right? Because at the time I was doing commercial production, so producing all the spots at Power. So they brought me in full time on air, which was great. I was already doing the old school show at the time, the Aquanet set, all that stuff as well with DJ Ron. So like, I, you know, obviously I had a ton of on air experience, and I was, you know, had, you know, weekend shows and all those different things. But Big brought me into the fold, which is a terrific honor, you know, to be a part of his show. And then I don't know, randomly, man, he used to always kind of joke around because, you know, I would say dude a lot or whatever. And he's like, dude. And then one day he's all, it's the sports dude. And then that was it, man. And then we just kind of went from there. And I, you know, I think it really speaks to who I am anyways, man. I'm not serious about all this stuff. I don't pretend to know everything. I have fun. I'm passionate about sports. Like, you guys are about fantasy football, and you guys are about family and how sports relates to culture and how sports affects our lives and how we bond through it and everything else. And that's kind of who I am. I mean, honestly, dude, I don't take myself too seriously. So it's funny, because when people will, you know, give me a hard time if I make a wrong pick or I'm wrong about something, it's like, bro, you care way more than I do, because I don't care as much as you care. Like, I really don't, man. Like, to me, it's just fun, you know, like, it's fun. And that's what, you know, what the guys is all about, you know. It's just, you know, talking that talk with sports. And that's kind of where it all came from. So I owe Big Boy a big favor. And when he left Power, you know, it was kind of weird, because I kept the name and I stayed there. But then now that we're kind of reunited at Real 92.3, and he's on in the morning, and I'm producing the crew show in the afternoon, and then on, you know, doing sports there as well. It's like, it's so great, because, you know, I can have him say it again and use his voice on the show now again. So it's a great blessing, and it's awesome how everything comes full circle. And I always tell him I'm so, so, so appreciative of, you know, having that name thanks to him.
Isn't it crazy how, you know, you look at an opportunity like that? I mean, you not only made it a persona, you made it your brand. And it's really impressive to see how you just kind of took this opportunity and just ran with it and turned it into, you know, doing what you really want to, what you, you know, making it something bigger and something that you really want to do. Cause here you are, you're executive producing. You're wearing a lot of hats. You're not just doing, oh, the Lakers did this last night. So,
no.
How cool is it to be able to just kind of take that and make it something bigger?
You know, it's funny. I never thought of it that way, really. I mean, you know, I'm like everybody else, man. I was just geeked out to be able to go there and interview the Dodgers or whatever. And my whole thing was this, right? Like I'm in an extremely blessed position, right? Because I never had to go talk to him and be like, yo, your stats have gone way down. You've gone from 11 rebounds a game to only three. Like, what's going on? I don't have to ask hard questions. Like, I could go in there and you would see me do it. You alluded to it at the beginning. Like, I would go in and talk to Matt Kemp about the new Drake album, you know, or talk to Carl Crawford about whatever. And then what I would also do at the time, you know, before music was a little bit more readily available and the streaming wasn't what it was, is when we got new music early and the guys were on it, I would edit some of the stuff and clean it up so they could use it on their walkout songs. So that's kind of how I endeared myself to some of the players, is like, you know, D Gordon was one of those people, and he'd be like, yo, I need this, man, but I only got the dirty version, and can you clean it so I can walk out to it, or can you, you know, only rock the instrumental? So little things like that I would just, you know, edit, because I come from a production background, and then I would give it to them on a CD or an MP3, and then the Dodger folks would play it for when they walked out. So that's kind of how I endeared myself. And again, like, that was the benefit of not working for some of the big sports, you know, ESPNs of the world or Fox and all that stuff. Like, I love the position I was in because I never had to take it seriously. You know, like, I was okay to kind of go in there and ask what the fan would ask, you know, and that made it cool, you know, and it made it really easy for me. And that's a tremendous blessing that I had. And I'm always thankful. So, you know, for me, that gave the dude vibe casual. It was casual. It was nothing big. And then in regards to branding, like, you know, I don't know. I think the world we live in has changed so much, and now you kind of almost have to have a brand. And so I'm just trying to make sure that the work I've put in up to this point doesn't go or fall by the wayside, you know? So then that's why I kind of like would step up and, you know, try to create that. And honestly, I'm a really humble dude, and really Cruz and a lot of the team, Leche especially, who really gets the now marketing of everything. He's like, bro, Jefe, you got a brand. Jefe, you got a brand. Jefe, you got it. Like, people know you, dog. They know the sports dude, bro. Like, and they're like, you got to do it, bro. So, like, that motivates me. You know, I take a lot of motivation from everyone around and what I see and what I do. And I just kind of try to, again, just be myself. And I don't really try to market myself. I just kind of am who I am, and I put up what I like. And that's just what it is. Like, I think it kind of markets itself. You know, I'm just like you, man. I'm just like everybody else, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What are some of the relationships that with the player on the player side that have just been really cherished over time?
Man, you know, Matt Kemp was always so nice to me and always so nice to my kids. Like, I, you know, that's something I've always been really appreciative of, because, you know, like, I coach too. I love coaching. I love coaching. I miss it now because my kids are too damn old for me to coach. They know more than I do at this point, you know? So, like, you know, I stopped coaching the kids, but at that time in my life when he was with the Dodgers, this first run, you know, he was always so great to my kids, and I always cherished that. He was really polite, and, you know, he would pump them up. And, you know, I remember going to a spring training game a couple years ago, maybe it was 2019. And he was playing for the Reds, and I kind of yelled at him. He saw me, came right over, man, was still great with the kids, even though he hadn't seen him in a few years. So I cherish that. And then obviously the other big one is Kobe, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely thankful for that. You know, JC Prieto, who's amazing and worked for Nike for a lot of years, and the whole team, honestly, at Nike, like, I'm gonna probably not mention everybody's name, so no one please get mad at me, but that whole team at that time, you know, for Nike and was just so generous to allow me to host a lot of shoe events for Kobe. And then, you know, I was able to kind of, you know, interact with him a lot. And he was just always, again, when it came to my kids, just incredibly, incredibly nice. And he had this way, man, Jorge, that I always tell everybody, of making everybody feel important, you know, whoever was around him, he made him feel that way. And including my kids and including myself, and, you know, to be able to host, you know, that, you know, dozen events or whatever it was with him over the course of a few years was really amazing. And just, I'm incredibly thankful for that. You know, again, it's not like we're hanging out having beers or any of that stuff, but just to be able to talk to him and be in that presence and, you know, see how his mind worked when it came to the shoes and the marketing and all that great stuff. I'm forever grateful to JC and everybody at Nike for that opportunity. And again, like, that relationship was really special. And, you know, even post career, you know, he would always come on the show And, you know, he was obviously talking about all the great books that he had with Granity Studios and the Wizenart series and all that stuff. He was on with us on the cruise show several times talking about that. And we had him on, I think, the September before he passed. And he was just always real comfortable. Again, like that's my whole thing. You know, like I didn't have to ask him anything serious ever. Thank God. You know what I mean? Because I would probably mess that up. You know, like I could just be myself around him. So that was another relationship that I really appreciate. Those are a couple of them that I, you know, that I always take with me, man, and be appreciative of.
I know I was listening to one of your podcast episodes, one of the recap shows, and I could tell that you guys were talking about Kobe, and I could tell it was still kind of a punch in the gut for you, even a year later, because I think when you were talking about the anniversary.
That just sucks, man. It just sucks because he still had a lot more to give to the world, I think, you know. And I think, you know, as a father, both you and I are fathers, you know, and, you know, he had a newborn in addition to the teens and, you know, and the elementary school age daughters. And, you know, he worked his ass off for all those years to be the best. And then, you know, now all he really looked forward to was the time to spend with his family, and to have that taken away, you know, from his family sucks, man. And I think that would affect anybody. And that, I think more so from a personal perspective, you know, that just sucks. You know, it just sucks because he never got that. But he's still going to have a massive impact on all their lives and all of our lives, you know, for a long time to come. And you know, just as a parent, it's tough because his daughter was born probably I would say like maybe, I don't know, 6-8 months before my son. And when I was introduced to him, one of the things that JC told him was like, hey, his wife's pregnant, man. You know what I mean? And his wife's pregnant. And so you know, da, 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 da. So we would have these little random, you know, conversations about parenting or teething tablets or, you know, little things like that, making sure you cover all the light sockets and random things. And like, it was just kind of, you know, that also hurts a lot because I look at my son and I go, man, I'm so grateful he's here. And then I think about how Vanessa must feel and all that. And it's tough, you know, like that's hard. That's really, really difficult to, you know, for them to lose a daughter at that age, you know, tough, man. And a husband, it's sad, man. It's sad.
No, it's going to be a hole in this city's heart for so many years, such a long time, probably forever. Yeah, but you know, let's talk about, you know, real quick about the cruise show. I mean, how did the team come about? I mean, it's great, the chemistry, but I know it wasn't something that just developed overnight.
Yeah, it never does, man. That's a good question. You know, when Big left Power, obviously there was a hole in the morning show. I, at the time, was working for our boss, the program director, Jimmy Steele. And, you know, we found out the news about Big leaving. And then, you know, obviously, there's a hole there. And I had no idea what he was going to do. He didn't really say much to me. Even though I was working with him, he didn't really say much. And I was kind of okay with that. Sometimes no news is good news, right? So he ended up, you know, having a conversation with Cruz and seeing if Cruz was interested. And without really knowing too much, I told him, I said, hey, listen, man, if you need someone in there to help like produce the show or get everything running, like I'm down, you know, like, let me know. And he's like, okay, Monday morning then. And I'm like, okay, well, shit. Or Monday morning. Okay, fine. So it was weird because we just kind of all got thrown together. Some people stayed that were in that iteration of Big Boy Show stayed at Power. And then, so it was the people that stayed plus me plus Cruz. And then we just all had to figure it out, you know, and be in the morning, and not only in the morning, but the shadow of one of the best radio talents to ever be in the city. So that was difficult at times, but you know, you learn from situations like that. And Cruz is an incredible talent, has a real good way about himself. Great interviewer, funny guy. But you know, no matter what, it was a daunting task that we had to learn, and we had to learn quickly, man. And then, you know, then things changed, you know, some parts were moved around, and then, you know, our contracts were up, and, you know, we decided that it was time for a little bit of a change. And we had this opportunity here at Real to move to the afternoons and kind of be the other cornerstone of that station. You know, work again with Big, which was an awesome opportunity, and kind of, you know, you know, something that was really important to Cruz, obviously bring some, you know, Latino appeal to that station, you know, and everything kind of came together thanks to our great manager and Linwood and to, you know, Doc Winter and, you know, Kevin Legret and Andrew Jeffries and everybody at iHeart, and everything kind of came together. And it was a really exciting time. And then we moved from the mornings to the afternoons, which is so much better than getting up at 3 a.m. you know, and then we were there, you know, and it's been great ever since. It's a new challenge because it's the afternoon and we're a content-based show. So we're trying to kind of navigate through all that, but we have an amazing team. Lechero is just an incredible, incredible talent, not on the radio, but in everything that he does. I mentioned his marketing earlier. Mm-hmm. And then one of the big benefits was being able to incorporate DJ Leslie in our show. She was DJing there already at iHeart. You know, obviously we wanted to have female presence on the show. We needed a DJ as well. So everything, again, like, I mean, God was looking out for us, man. Like, and everything kind of really fell together for us perfectly. And man, I'm so thankful for that opportunity. I've learned so much. Like that building, dude, think about the building, Jorge, you know, downstairs you have AM 570, the daughter station. So, I mean, you have Petros, Money, Fred, Rodney, right? Vic. And then upstairs you have Seacrest, JoJo, Valentine, Woody Show, you know, all the stations, you know, all these people, Ellen K. I mean, dude, like you want to walk into a building and feel inspired. Like I'm inspired every day when I walk in there. And like, that's the blessing that I think iHeart really gave us, is to be around so many talented people, you know, and it was so great. And, you know, obviously the pandemic messed all that up for at least a while, but like, you know, I can't wait to the day where everybody's back in there and we're all there together. And that energy is crazy, man. And so that's how it all came together. And that's where we're at now, which is Leslie and Leche and Cruz. And they're all super talented. And it was honestly one of the easiest transitions I think I've ever had. Because everybody just really gets along and everybody really gets it. And Leslie's a terrific marketer and she knows, you know, what her brand is. And she's really just good at what she does. And I think you take all four of us who are kind of unique in our own way, and then you put us all together, and that's what makes everything flow well. And it's awesome, man. Just, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more, dude. Like I really couldn't ask for anything more. And it's fun. Really, really, really fun.
You know, one of the things that I really love, and I think this message has been very important in the last year, considering some of the events, is you really preach that it's, you know, racial, you know, going against racial inequality for in the Black and brown communities. And sure. I love that it's repeated throughout the show. I mean, yeah. it's mm-hmm. you know, it's just to drive that message home. How important, I mean, how much responsibility do you feel being a part of that show, especially considering the light of the last year?
Well, that's one great part about being there. You know, again, our program director, Doc Winter, AO or APD, and, you know, they're obviously very passionate, you know, and deservedly so about that, you know, about being in the community and about supporting the things that matter and making sure that the Black and brown in LA know that there's a radio station that they can turn to and not have, you know, not only have fun and play all their favorite songs and do all that fun stuff, but man, when stuff gets serious, these people aren't going to be scared to talk about it, even though they're a music station, you know, because a lot of, you know, other people I may have worked for, you know, again, there's nobody in particular may have said, hey, man, let's just do us. Let's just be an escape, you know, whatever. And that's too much, you know, it's too much muddy waters to get into. And you're never going to win. You're never going to make everybody happy. But, you know, I love the fact that we're the opposite of that. And we're like, yeah, all right, let's dig in. Let's go. You know what I mean? If it's, you know, Cruz always says this, and it's a great line. If it's important to you, it's important to us, you know, and we know that if we say something about, you know, President Trump or something, that we're going to get people that are going to be mad at us. You know what I mean? And that, you know, again, maybe it's not even opinion based. It could be a listener that said it, you know, maybe we're just talking about the, you know, the insurrection or whatever, you know, but we know that we're not going to make everybody happy. And sometimes you have to live with that, dude. You know what I mean? And stick to what your core values are. And the core values of our radio station and our leadership are that community-based, important, you know, important that the community knows that we're there for them. And that's the way we've all felt anyways. So for us, it's a no-brainer. And I'm very proud that we are involved. And again, you're talking about Big Boy in the Morning, who has been in this community for decades on decades, and to have him be there leading that charge as well, and for us to be together on this whole thing, it's been great. Like to have Cruising Big on KTLA and to have Cruising Big do specials, trying to bring everybody together after George Floyd and everything. Dude, what an honor, man. You know, like to be able to be in that presence and to be able to hopefully execute the right way to where the audience understands our passion for the community. And that's important to us, man. So we're lucky, lucky, dude.
Oh, incredible. I mean, just seriously, just abrazos for that. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Thank you, man. No, thank you, man.
I want to get a little bit lighter now. You guys have a finesse or fail. That what's one that sticks out to you?
Those are fun, by the way. It's a prank call. Unlike some of the other prank calls, you know, we have the listener really kind of be the one that does the pranking, and then Cruz will come in and kind of be a little bit of the antagonist as well. But you know, we get texts on our text line and our phone line of people. I mean, there's not enough time in the day for me to schedule all of them, dude. People can't wait to make fun of their family members, our friends, you know, and really burn them. One that sticks out, gosh, there's so many. Cruz did one with his brother that was terrific, where he asked his brother to basically be a donor for him and his wife because Cruz was, in quotes, shooting blanks. And that was a great one, and his brother was freaked out. That was one of my favorites. A tattoo artist tattooing a celebrity's private parts was really funny. We could see if we could finesse him to do that. That was pretty funny. Got weird really quick. We had a recent one that was awesome, where we had this guy try to convince his buddy and finesse his buddy into selling COVID vaccines. And the dude was just, I mean, so great. And he was just like cussing us out and telling us how stupid we were. And he's like, I'm not messing with y'all. You know, it all depends. Sometimes it just really depends on the person, you know. That's what makes the calls is, you know, we always tell the people that want to prank somebody, just make sure the person you're pranking is gullible and will react accordingly, you know, and react with passion. And, you know, they're so fun to do. And, you know, we help write them and kind of get everything together. And then, like I said, then the person will get on, call their significant other, friend, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then they start the process. And then all of a sudden, here comes Cruz, you know, and then it gets crazy. But those are a lot of fun, man. Those are a lot of fun. And we obviously had to stop them during the pandemic, and they came back here in February. So it's been really awesome to have them back, because it's just so fun, man. It's just so fun. But hey, I'll tell you, man, there's been a few that have gone sideways. Those are tough sometimes as well, because, you know, some people may take it a little too seriously, and not that, but we always make it right. You know, everything's always fine with it, but like that can happen, you know, that can happen. We know that can happen. So we always try to make sure that we don't go too far, and we always try to kind of keep it in pocket. And most, you know, like 99.9% of the time, people just laugh and they curse at us and everything's okay, you know? So.
Well, let's get into some sports real quick. I know. Tell me about last October. You got the Lakers and the Dodgers. I mean, you're a lifelong fan of both teams, and they win the championship less than 2 weeks apart. I mean, I know the emotional roller coaster it took me on. Tell me what it was like for you.
That's a very good way to describe it. An emotional roller coaster. Like, I think for a lot of those Lakers and Dodgers games, like I didn't even sit on the couch. I'm one of those stupid people that stand up during the whole game, like if I'm at the stadium, you know. But I think the thing I remember most, to be honest with you, dude, is like being able to enjoy that with my family, you know. And it's so weird how life works, right? Like, you know, had it been a different way, you know, who knows, maybe I would be there covering it. Who knows? I don't know that I would or I wouldn't. Right. But the fact that I was here with my sons that are now old enough to remember it. Right. Like, and be a part of that joy. That's what really made it. And they know how, I mean, first of all, like I love both teams. Right. But the Lakers just have like a special place in my heart. You know what I mean? Like very much so, like since I was really, really young, like I grew up idolizing Magic Johnson, you know. But then at the same time, you know, like I loved you know, that infield, bro. You know, I mean, yep. The Penguin and Garvey, and you know, I even loved Pedro Guerrero before he started slinging dope. You know, but I love that, and I love them both equally. But like, some, you know, Lakers have always kind of had just a special place, and to be like when they won in 09 and 10, and they had those back to backs. You know, again, I was knee deep in covering that. My kids were really young, you know, really young, so they don't remember that. You know, I think the first memories of a championship were probably the Kings, right? Oh, like, I think yeah. for them, they remember mm-hmm. the Kings. But like, this was awesome to be there with them, you know, and to be there and cheer with them after the Dodgers one, which, by the way, was so sweet because it had been so long. I went with my kid in my truck and we drove around and we cheered all around the neighborhood and with the bullhorn. And, you know, we just soaked in that all around the neighborhoods and all around the bars and everything that was happening because it was just so special. And to me, I'll always remember those championships for what it did for our family. And, you know, after that, we took a lot of calls on the air and to hear people crying and saying, like, I wish my dad was here. I'm getting emotional thinking about it right now. Like, I wish my dad was here and I wish my mom was here or whatever to celebrate that moment with me. Like, I think the words that you use, emotional roller coaster, especially that word emotion, is what I will remember from these two championships. And honestly, how resilient these teams were, you know, to be in a bubble for all those months with the Lakers and to be able to win, you know, despite, you know, having some injuries and being in that weird bubble and a first year coach and all those little things that the Lakers had to do. And then the Dodgers, you know, to have to go to another whole stadium, you know, and play out in Texas and adapt to that whole situation and, you know, not have David Price and all the little things and that pressure on Kershaw's shoulders and all the ghosts of the World Series past, you know, and I think that, like, for me, I just think, like, it was the epitome of what the pandemic is all about. And I love the fact that we were able to have two dream scenarios within 2 weeks and just be able to give this city something to feel great about because, dude, honestly, you know, you started 2020 with the passing of Kobe and all those things that kind of happened after that, this hasn't been cool, man. And to think about all the black and brown that are out of work and suffering and to, you know, and having a tough time feeding their kids and then the stimulus checks and the crazy EDD drama and people aren't getting what they need in their lives. And for a month's time to be able to forget about all that crap and to be able to put your emotion back into your teams and celebrate that, man, it's something I'll never forget, man. And thank God for all those players. And I don't know that they really know what they did, you know, like, I think they'll know when they get older, but I really don't think they know what they did for so many people, dude. You know,
I think they got to get into the new season and see what the city, you know, hopefully fans will be in the stands. I think that's when it's when they get their rings and they hear that ovation. I think that's when it's going to sink in. And hopefully we get to have a parade. Dios mío, por favor.
Please. What about you? I mean, how did you feel through all that time?
It was an emotional roller coaster. I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, it was, for me, I wanted it so much for Kershaw and for Kenley because I got to know them so well. I always remembered Kershaw and his family were always so good to me. Kenley, I always have special feelings because I knew him when he was a catcher and I thought, I'm never going to see this guy. To see those two guys, I really felt it. For them, I literally like let out at that point because I knew how much it meant to them. But I also, you know what? I was trading messages with probably about 20, 25 people that friends of mine that are still in the front office and they're making me a part of it, which was cool. They're like, you're a Dodger for, you know, Tommy always said, Tommy, God rest his soul. He would always say, once a Dodger, always a Dodger. He's like this, you're a part of this. And I lost it. I was, my kids were with me, which my wife and kids were with me. And they were asking me, you know, they were like, they don't see dad cry. And I said, girls, don't worry. These are happy tears. I'm just so happy right now. It's been 32 years. I've been waiting for this. And I wanted it while I was there, but you know what? I want this so much for some friends that I know that were there even before me. And mm-hmm. I wanted it for them just as badly. So it was just, it was special. It was special. And I just, I, you know, with so many of them, I've talked to them on the phone. Some of them I play fantasy football with, and I just sit there and I'm like, I can't wait to like see you so that I can hug you and we can, you know, we could really celebrate this thing.
No, for sure. I think about the time that you mentioned, like, you know, when you would see me there, obviously before I started producing and doing all that stuff and kind of multitasking or whatever, but like, you know, Yvonne was so great to me all those years, you know, and I, mm-hmm. I thought about her a lot because I was like, oh man, she was, you know, and Joe and John, you know what I mean? Yep. And all the people, because like, you know, those were the people that were always cool to me, man, you know, and always so nice. And really, dude, like, I mean, honestly, you know, like I said before, like, I don't take this stuff too seriously. I mean, obviously I understand the opportunity and everything like that, but I'm a guy that works at a freaking music station. What business do I have to be there interviewing players? Right. I've always thought that. And I've always tried to be humble in that regard. And we're like, bro, I'm still riding house money here. You know, like I'm, you know, this is so amazing. And those are the people that always gave me a chance, you know, and like, let me do that. Even though I wouldn't say I'm asking unorthodox questions, but I wasn't always, you know, that stat person, like I said, and the same thing for like Allison at the Lakers and John Black at the Lakers, when he was there, like those people gave me the opportunities. And just like you, even though I'm not like super, you know, I'm not there like I used to be, like, those are such vivid memories to me being there. And those people give me opportunities that those are some of the first people I thought of as well, you know? And I think that it's pretty awesome to share that moment with people, you know?
No, that was special. What can they do for an encore? Both teams, Dodgers and Lakers.
Repeat, man. That's it. You got to repeat. And they, honestly, they both have terrific chances to do it. That's the great part. You know? I mean, I honestly think that this Lakers team is still better than last year's team. I think, you know, man, Schroeder's so good, dude. He is so good. Gasol still got some work to do, but I, you know, Pelinka, you know, he's gonna pull something off at the trade deadline. My heart tells me that, my gut tells me that. So I think they're in a great position. And then look at what the Dodgers did. I mean, freaking, they added a Cy Young winner, and then David Price is back. And then, you know, and just watching some of these guys this, you know, last week or so of spring training and seeing some of these young guys that are going to have to be the next Kike, going to have to be the next Peterson, who both showed up in the World Series, right? Like, to me, that's the one part that I was worried about as a Dodger fan. But like, I think that there's some people just watching spring training now that can fill that role. So I'm excited to see what that brings, you know, and then, you know, have Lux get some more playing time, et cetera. Yeah. So thankful that that Turner's back. And, you know, like, bro, both teams are stacked. So the only thing you have to do is repeat now, you know, and that's tough because the pressure is there. The pressure is going to be there, but they know that it'll be special if they can do that.
No, it'll be special. And I will say the thing I'm doing for the Lakers is I've got a veladora lit for AD to get all his calf to get, and his Achilles mm-hmm. to get all the way better. Cause mm-hmm. we don't want it to go sideways. We don't want a Kevin Durant situation or anything like that. No.
They're doing the right thing, dude. They're doing the right thing because he's got to rest, and everybody knows, like, I mean, look at LeBron won a championship with the fourth seed, right? So he was a fourth seed in the East and won it. So listen, you got the best player on the planet. You got, you know, a very solid supporting cast, and it's not over yet. I mean, there could be some stuff happening at the deadline. So I'm just saying, like, they got a great chance and they're doing the right thing here. So let's see.
So I got a Chargers related question. I know you're a Charger fan. I mean, we just did an episode about super sophomore quarterbacks with Justin Herbert kind of leading the pack. How pumped are you considering he's going into his second year, which a lot of times the quarterbacks have that big jump, and he's got a new coach, hopefully better health on the defensive side. How excited are you as a Charger fan?
You know, it was funny, man, because again, going back to the pandemic and stuff in the family, like, you know, Sundays, you know, became this, you know, before I'd go out with the boys, you know, whatever, you know, shout out to all the, you know, family, whether it be Leo and all my boys, we'd go to Barney's or somewhere else and we'd watch football, and I'd take my, you know, my family and stuff. But this year for football was different, right? We're all home, you know, we're all home, bars are closed. And, you know, so it was one of those things where, again, my kids are older, my boys play football. And I'm so excited about Justin Herbert. But at the same time, I understood the process. I knew, I don't want to say Tyrod. It's, how did he do it in
Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor. So I don't want to mess that up. But Taylor, you know, look, we knew the process, right? And he won the first game in Cincinnati, barely, you know, we get that. And then when that injury happens, I'm just like, whoa, yes, we get to see what this guy looks like. And then to have the guy over deliver the way that he's done or did the whole season, it's just, it gave me so much hope, and it gave my family, like I said, that's the whole thing. We're here together. We made Sundays an event at home now instead of going out. So it was just the four of us. We're here, you know, we're making the food, the carne asada, everything. We know we're here. It's a vibe. It's a great man. And we're into every single place. Sometimes when you're at the bar and it's wild, you're talking and you're doing this and you don't, you know, but to sit there and really appreciate and enjoy the way that this kid played and the energy and the hope that he brought to this team. Like, bro, all I do is get crapped on by Raider fans and everybody else for being a Charger fan for all this time, you know? And even when Phillip Rivers was beating the Raiders and all that stuff consistently, but they never really did much. But to see this guy be so young and have so much hope for what he can bring to this franchise, you know, and I was like every other fan, a little bit frustrated with Anthony Lynn. I liked him, but I was a little bit frustrated with some of the decision-making and stuff. And so I, like you mentioned, I'm extremely excited about the new coach and extremely excited about the possibility of Herbert taking another bit. I don't know how much more he could jump, though. I mean, what is he going to do now? You know what I mean? Like, he's done everything. It's just a matter of, like you said, defense being healthy, offensive line needs to be better, as well, in a very big way. And then it's just him creating those bonds now in the offseason with all those targets that they have. Because, I mean, dude, the Chargers have the personnel to win. They do. You know, it's just some decision making and again, a very much a health thing as well. But, I mean, the sky's the limit. And he just injected so much hope. And, again, to share that with my family, my son plays quarterback, you know, and to be able to, like, share that with them and have that hope. You know, like I said, it's been amazing. I can't wait, man. Like, I'm so excited for this season, dude. And I love that he's a humble kid too. You know, I love he's humble. He just, you know, and you remember that play where was it in, I don't know, it was New Orleans or Indianapolis. I can't remember now, where he was reaching over the goal line.
Yeah.
And it was quarterback sneak. And it was in. Like, I love that he's just super passionate and he cares so much about the game. That had to be Indy, right? That couldn't have been New Orleans. But anyway,
New Orleans, like, he threw four touchdowns. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that was when they had the great first half and they all fell apart in the second, but which was basically the theme for the season. I love his passion. I love the fact that, I mean, he may be one of the younger guys on the team, but, you know, people really respect his game and they know that they can help, you know, he can help them win. And I love that, man. I love it.
Oh man. Well, we're going to need to play fantasy football at some point or something, or maybe we'll invite you to our Familia draft and you can talk stuff with us, man. Cause we definitely have favorite carne asada, but, what kind of strategy, what's your favorite strategy on fantasy football? Do you go running back heavy or do you like to mix in just best player?
You know, it's funny because the last 2 years, I've had the first pick. I don't know how it happens. And then everybody I've picked has got hurt. It was Kamara 2 years ago. And then it was
McCaffrey.
I can't think of his name.
McCaffrey.
And I'm just like, bro, okay. It's funny because we play one here with all of our family just so the kids have fun with it, right? And then I play a bunch of different places. But I'm kind of in the mode of just the best player. You know, because I think that, like, the way that the leagues are going and everything, and I feel like if you could just get a best player that could be consistent for you week by week, I think it's really important that you just get that person, you know? And it's so weird because with the running back situation being what it is, you know, they're rotating. It's, you know, there's some teams that are running back by committee. And then, like I said, the people that you think are going to get you where you need to be haven't been performing. And I don't know, man, like, listen, I've been sucking really bad the last 2 seasons. I'm the last person you need to ask for advice. So whatever I say, if you're listening to this podcast, do the opposite. Okay.
But you know what? The important thing is to play. That's the thing. Play, have fun, talk stuff. And that's the important thing. So what about you?
What do you do? So what do? You're the expert, man. See, I'm in your world.
Well, you know what I learned a lot last year being a so-called expert for the first, you know, for a self titled expert. The big thing, you got to grab a tight end. You got to grab Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller by the, you know, late first round to early third round for Waller. You got to get the tight end. If you're playing in a tight end league, I think there's a lot of value in the second half of the first round where you can get, because like I had a team that grabbed I grabbed Davante Adams at the end of the first round last year, and just that team went to the championship. So it's like I think people are undervaluing that stud wide receiver than getting that.
I would agree.
And so I think it's not so important to go running back heavy. But the other thing that's important, and Justin Herbert fits that mold, is you need a quarterback who's going to run. Who's got that running, that running code. They call it the Konami code in fantasy sports, where even Patrick Mahomes is considered a running quarterback, but you know, that quarterback that's going to get like 200 to 300 yards, they just tack on. If you get a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray, that's a whole nother level. But and one of the things I did a little study, and I found that people are drafting those guys earlier and earlier, because before it was like wait for the quarterback. No, you got to grab. I think you got to start grabbing your quarterback between the fourth and the seventh round to get those studs. Mm-hmm. People are going to grab Mahomes in the first or second round. Okay, you do you. Yeah. But I mean, I'm fine grabbing Kyler Murray in like the fourth or fifth round, and then I'll take my chances with that guy. So tight end. You know, get yourself the stud receiver early, and get yourself a running back, a quarterback who runs. Those are the big things. And wide receiver is so loaded, you're gonna be shocked at finding some guys in the seventh, eighth round of drafts that are gonna be like, oh my God, this guy's still here. Boom, take him. So
yeah, I've always been like, you know, like looking at like the quarterback and receiver, like, you know, every team kind of has their go-to guy. And then they have that guy that's not just that, like, as an example, right. I'm trying to think of a team, but like you look at Justin Herbert, right. For a majority of the time he was passing to Keenan Allen. Right. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the Rams, and the Rams kind of, you know, they didn't have that one, you know, standout wide out person, but you always knew Cooper Kupp was Goff's favorite guy, you know?
Yep.
So I always looked at those guys for like the later rounds and stuff, but I always got criticized, to your point that you just made, was like, I would like not be scared to get a receiver early. Right. And then same with you, I would be a little bit sooner on the quarterback than most people were as well. Tight end is a good point. Sometimes I would take that for granted at times, but like, I never was scared to get the wide receivers and get those quarterbacks, and then really kind of try to get into the quarterback's head of who, not only that primary receiver who's going to throw to, but like, who's that guy that's his security blanket, you know? Mm-hmm. And those guys are really important, because, you know, on any given day, they could go crazy, you know? And, you know, especially like if someone's double covering that number one, there's your security blanket right there. And that's the one that you kind of can get you over the edge a little bit. And again, like, it's not like I've been doing great stuff in my fantasy, but I, you know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but that's kind of the way I'd approach it sometimes, you know.
Don't overthink it. Drink a beer, maybe have a shot of tequila, relax and have fun. Other thing, grab running backs, be patient with rookie running backs, because sometimes they'll help you in the second half of the season. So that's a big thing. All right.
Edwards-Helaire was my guy for the first half of the season. Like, you know, like last season he was cool. And then, you know, obviously he cooled down a little bit, but like, you know, I grabbed him early, 'cause I'm like, listen, man, they're going to give him the ball, dude. You know what I mean? Like, so I know he's, and he helped me out tremendously. And then he really, really cooled off. So yeah, that's good advice, man. Good advice.
He's going to be a bargain this year. Because people are going to be like, oh, he wasn't that good at the end, he got hurt and everything like that. And it's like, no, he's still on the best offense in the league. So, you know, if you get him in the second or third round, you just say, man, thank you, you know, and enjoy your championship. So do that one. So us, us being a Latino themed podcast, I got to get your three favorite taco fillings.
carne asada, papas, and pollo. That's it.
Oh man, anything you like to put up, what do you like to put on them?
Come on, man, you know, all the essentials, man. Cebolla, cilantro, you know, I mean, you name it, bro. Oh, yeah. And I'm a green salsa guy, man.
Oh,
so perfect. I'm a green guy. Yeah, I get shit from that from Lechero, but I'm a green salsa guy.
Oh, I'm red. If my head's sweating at the end, that means I'm happy.
I can't. I'm part of the IBS gang, so I can't, you know, that'll destroy me, man. And then I'll be out of commission. So I'm a green guy, man.
No, cuídate. So the last one, I just to kind of close this out. I mean, how is it to think that you're someone who's kind of really setting the path for young Latinas and Latinos to, you know, just really just want to have someone to dream about and be like, 'cause we didn't have people like us in these kind of positions. how cool is it to think that you could be setting the path for others coming behind you?
Oh man, you know, I've never, it's so, you know, first of all, if I'm what you're aspiring to be, you need to change your goals. just kidding. You need to really rethink your life. But no, I mean, to answer the question, I don't know, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I've never taken anything too seriously, you know, because I just, you know, want to enjoy the moment. I don't want to overthink that kind of stuff because that can drive you crazy. I've always just kind of been who I am. I don't dwell on the past very much. I don't, you know, and I'll be honest, dude, I don't really know what I'm doing. I just kind of trust my gut, you know, and I kind of trust my gut and trust my feeling. So as far as people are, you know, me setting some sort of path or whatever, like if I had to give advice to anybody, that's what I would say. Never take yourself too seriously. Work your butt off because there's no trick to it. You know what I mean? You look at the world now and listen, you have daughters that are teenagers. So you know that most people that age, and including my sons, what do they want to be when they grow up? Oh, I want to be an influencer or YouTuber or whatever, or video gamer and whatever. And it's like, that's great. But what I try to tell my kids, and the advice I would give anybody, was that's fine, but be the best damn video gamer or the best damn influencer that you can. And that just takes work, dude. Like when I was working for Big, we would have a call time of whatever, you know, 5 a.m., right? We'd be up early 5 a.m. And then, you know, had the kids and all that stuff in between after the show and everything. And then I would go and work the Lakers at night, you know, and then come back at 11, 12, or the Dodgers. I would do a lot of pregame Dodger stuff rather than the post, just because baseball games, you never know when they're going to end, but I do my best, you know, to kind of be there at night. But there was no trick to anything, you know. It was just like, bro, it was hard work. It's, you know, communication. It's, you know, it's having, you know, responding and having cool relationships and just, you know, trying to just be you. And I don't really consider myself good at anything per se, except really working hard, you know, and like, and I, you know, just kind of like enjoying the moment, getting in where I fit in. So as far as like any kind of inspiration or any kind of thoughts I can offer to people, it's just like, hey man, whatever you're going to do, just do the best that you can with the situation that you have, you know? And I knew that based upon the schedule that I've had a lot of times that I can't physically be there for everything, you know, and that's okay. So how did I substitute that? And what did I do? I always just try to do the best I could with what I was given. And honestly, like hearing you say that, like, I just, you know, I've never thought of myself in that way. So thank you for saying that. And I just, you know, if and when I talk to, you know, schools or different things like Beto Duran, who I look up to so much, he's such a great guy, and what he does, you know, with the youth and his podcast, Living the Dream. Like, I think, you know, I just want to tell everybody that it's not as hard as you think. And all it takes is one person to really kind of believe in you, to give you the chance. And then what you have to do is prove them right. Right. You know what I mean? And show up and do the best that you can, and just stay humble, man. And just be you. And if some people don't like you, what can you do? You can't, you're not in the business of changing people's minds, right? You're in the business of, you know, going, leading with your heart and your gut and trying to do the right thing. So I really just encourage everybody to try their best to live their dream. I would have never thought I would have been doing this, man. I was the biggest F up in high school and after and everything. Like, I would have never guessed I would have ever been this lucky. You know what I mean? But I try to just treat people right, be fair, and, you know, hope for the best. And not everything's going to go your way, but just do what you can and do the right thing. Always try to just do the right thing. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, mi hermano, thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone, but good luck.
It does. And it's good. And you know what? You're leading by example. And I think that's awesome. And you're enjoying your life, which everybody should be shooting for that. So, mi hermano, abrazos. You know what? Jefe, I mean, tell us everywhere people can find you.
At the Sports Dude on everything. At the Sports Dude on everything. Oh, I want to mention, you mentioned some of the marketing stuff, and I kind of been slowly putting out little sticker things coming up really, really, really soon. I'm going to do something to give back to youth sports. And that's another thing, by the way, when you have opportunities, always take care of other people. Always, always, always. Cause people took care of me on my path. And to me, that's just so super important, man. And give people opportunities, please, and coach them and help them and mentor them and have your phone open for them. It's so important to give people opportunities. Cause that, to me, that's why I feel like I've been lucky. I've always tried to have that good karma, you know, and just and be there for people and try to help out when I can. But speaking of that, we're going to do a youth sports initiative. I'm doing it. The stickers are one thing. We're going to do some t-shirts and some other items that will be 100% of the proceeds is going to youth sports. So, because I know a lot of youth sports have been suffering over the last year, and a lot of the sponsors that help pay for the uniforms and the equipment and all those things are going to go away because a lot of those corporations are broke. And a lot of those things, it's very tough. So what I'm going to do is do, like I said, some sports dude t-shirts, merch, little things like that. They'll be available really, really soon. And all that money is going to go back to youth sports. So I'm going to be sponsoring teams, buying equipment, doing all that stuff to make sure that, you know, the kids that need it the most will be able to play what they want and be able to hopefully pursue their dreams. So that'll be coming out soon. And that, it's a really important thing to me because, like I said, I mean, if I'm lucky enough to be doing what I'm doing, I want to help other people and the youth. And like I said, I love coaching. So if I can help them out, let's get it. And that'll be coming out really soon. So if anybody listening can support, again, it's at the Sports Dude on Instagram and Twitter. All that information will be up there really, really soon. We're just kind of finishing up the Shopify right now and stuff. And I want to make sure it's perfect when we drop. But, you know, you'll be helping a lot of really good kids. Hopefully, you know, start their path.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. Love it. I can't love it anymore. Gracias, mi hermano. Gracias.
No, thank you for letting me talk about it. Thank you.
Oh man. Anytime. And when you come out, I'll put it out on all the socials and I'll make sure everybody I know is sharing it. My primos are sharing it. So definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. No. You guys are doing great work, man. And you can invite me to your fantasy league and take my money. I'll be happy to hand it over.
Oh, mi hermano. Well, that's it for this edition of the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Martin. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17, our podcast at Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram. So also check out our familiaffb.com website and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Otra vez, Jeff Garcia. It's such a pleasure. Thank you. This has been way too long since we caught up. And again, thank you. And everybody remember, as Jeff just reminded us, you know, in helping the youth sports, because we are, todos somos familia.